Good morning and welcome to our Monday Chapel. Just a brief announcement regarding a special presentation tonight. If you look at the bottom of the sheet today, Dr. Wade Johnston from Wisconsin Lutheran College has recently written a book on a man named Matthias Flacius Illyricus, who is one of Martin Luther's students and very influential in making sure that the doctrines of the Reformation continued. I think you'd find it very interesting tonight. It's at 7 o'clock in Meyer Hall 101. Please join me in the gradual and introit as printed in the bulletin. Christ has humbled himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Christ has humbled himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus King, thou come, Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. John, part of Jesus' high priestly prayer, chapter 17, various verses. And our Lord prays to his heavenly Father, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. Many years ago when I was a pastor, I went to visit one of my shut-ins who was in her 80s, and as I walked through her kitchen to go into kind of the living room area where we were going to sit and talk, I happened to notice a piece of paper on the counter in the kitchen, and I just glanced at it. There were a number of names on it, and one of the names at the bottom was mine, and drew my attention, and I just looked more quickly at it. There were about 20-some names on there, and the top four or five were all crossed off, and I realized, I recognized them. They were people who had died, and then I noticed that some of them were pastors and professors here at Bethany and other friends of hers, and here was my name at the bottom. So she saw me glancing at this, and she said, "Oh, that's my prayer list. I go through it every day." And I thought, well, that's pretty wonderful to think that this woman is saying a prayer for me every day and for my work and things. It's kind of interesting that behind the scenes in our lives, there might be people bringing prayers to God on our behalf that we don't even think about. Maybe your parents or grandparents or friends and things. And how often has it been that your life maybe has been uplifted or even slightly changed because of a petition that was brought before God? Have you ever thought about that? That maybe someday when we get to heaven, we'll find out that there were things in your life that you just assume were just happenstance, and somehow God had taken a request and a prayer of someone that came before him and used that to shape your life in a completely different way. In the text before us, our Lord Jesus Christ goes before his heavenly Father in prayer, and he's doing this on behalf of his followers. And if you read the entire chapter of John 17 and beyond, you will see that Jesus is not simply praying for his apostles. Certainly that's part of it. But he's also praying for those who will come to faith through them. And that would be us, because it's through the apostolic writings that you and I have been brought to faith through that word of God. And so our Lord is praying in this high priestly prayer. He is praying to his heavenly Father on your behalf. That's a really wonderful thing. Think about the tremendous value that prayer must have if God himself uses it. Our Lord Jesus, the Son of God himself, uses it to speak to his heavenly Father on our behalf. Back in the Old Testament, the high priest was required to wear a very specific bib apron type thing that was very yellowish gold, and it was covered with 12 stones on it to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And each stone had a significance. If you look at Exodus 28, it's amazing the detail that God gives in how this special garment was to be made. Only the high priest. And when he would go into the Holy of Holies, he would represent all of the people who were indicated by these stones on his chest. He would represent all of the people to God. That was the symbolism of it. I also thought, you know, did little kids have their parents tell them, see the blue stone kind of over here? That one represents our tribe. When our Lord Jesus came into the world and goes and makes intercession before God for us, that high priest of the Old Testament was a beautiful picture of the greater work that our Lord Jesus was coming to do. That's why the book of Hebrews refers to him as the great high priest. Because that was simply a symbolic way of showing what Jesus was going to do on behalf of all of us when he would go and stand before God. And what does he pray? Listen to our Lord's prayer again. He says to his Father, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." It is ultimately the word of Christ that separates you and me from the unbelieving world and what puts us at odds with the unbelieving world. It's that very word that has made us children of God, has taught us of our need for a Savior, the great depth of sin that we have in each one of us, and then also brought us to the cross and what our Lord Jesus would do there by being sacrificed for every one of us to pay for every sin we've ever done. That word is the thing that delivers to us that perfect holy record that covers us just like a garment so that God sees us as his saints. It's that very word that creates the church of believers that God now says separates us from this unbelieving world. Jesus says, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." I love that. We don't really belong here. We're living here, but we don't really belong here. We have a different citizenship. Tonight, the NCAA basketball tournament is going to be on at 8 o'clock after the lecture, so come to the lecture first. Tonight, the NCAA championship basketball tournament is going to be on. They will crown a new champion. And I'm sure that in the last day and now today, the coaches of the two teams that will be battling, I'm sure that they have been trying to figure out what the greatest strengths of the opponents are. They probably haven't spent a lot of time about the people that sit way on the end of the bench, but they've been thinking about the best stars. How can they minimize the strength of their opponent? The same thing happens in war. Generals will often figure out the greatest strength of their opponent to try to figure out a way to defeat them. Have you ever thought about how strongly the devil and the world try to keep us away from the Word of God? I know in my own life, even though I preach and teach it, it's amazing the temptations I have to kind of push God's Word away, and how hard it is for me sometimes even to stay focused on that Word of God. The reason they spend so much time trying to keep us from that Word is because they know it's our greatest strength to keep us out of their possession someday, and ultimately keeping us as citizens of heaven. The enemies of our faith try to keep us from the things that will help us stay with Christ Jesus, our Savior. But notice in our text again, under Christ's watchful eye, your entire life, from God's perspective, has a heavenly reason and a heavenly purpose. God's heavenly work, he describes here, of reaching down with his divine hands through his word and sacraments into the world to call you and me out of the unbelieving world and grab us in the net of his grace and to pull us into his holy Christian church. And now Jesus says he is praying for those whom the Father has given to him. They belong to him. They are yours, he says. That's a pretty neat thing, isn't it? That through all of that, God has grabbed you, given you faith in your Savior, and made you one of his own. If you ever watch a mom who is observing her children in a choir or maybe in a play full of a whole bunch of children or maybe out on a playground, you can tell that she is so tuned in and zoned in on her child and what's happening to her child. That's how Christ describes our Heavenly Father's view of us. He's constantly watching us and looking after us and zoned in on us and the things of our lives. Because in God's eyes, you as a believer in Christ, by his grace, you are a light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. What a blessing to be part of that church. Amen. Our dear Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for serving as our great high priest, not only in this life by allowing yourself to be sacrificed for us, but even now making intercession for us before the throne of God. Help us to always cherish and love being part of your kingdom. Stir up in our hearts the gift of prayer as well, that we may bring our petitions before the throne of our Father. We pray this all in your saving name. Amen. And now may the triune God who has claimed you in your baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in peace. Amen.